You're listening to Adventures in Autism. Each episode, we will bring you the latest in news regarding autism, as well as our personal story and the topic of the week. We are not medical professionals, and none of the information that we give should be taken as such. Instead, we are parents of a severely autistic child. We are here to share our lives and our personal experiences with you. If you would like to know more about our personal story or access any of our other podcasts, you may do so through openeyesnetwork.com. If you would like to share your personal story with us, you may send an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com or access our Facebook fan page at Open Eyes Network, as well as our Twitter feed at Open Eyes Network. Thanks for listening. Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Adventures in Autism. My name is Ira Robinson.
And I am Jolene Robinson.
And we are here to talk to you guys this week about a topic that we find to be very interesting as far as autism is concerned. There are a lot of issues that come up with this particular subject, and that issue is schooling. What to do about it, where to go, what to do, you know, all the kind of good stuff that goes with it. And, you know, this is, if you guys missed it, be sure to go to our archives for our past shows. This is actually our third episode of Adventures in Autism.
Yay.
And, you guys can go to openeyesnetwork.com and go to our archives of our Adventures in Autism shows, and, make sure that you guys listen. There's a lot of really good information that we've given out over the past couple of shows. Of course, the first one was just the introduction episode, but there was still some good info in there.
Oh, yes, of course.
And hopefully you guys are enjoying the show so far. So we've gotten really good feedback about the show. It seems like people are really responding very well to it, and that we're actually starting to get people interested in actually coming onto the show. And we wanted to make sure to make the announcement here that, yes, we do want to hear your stories. We do want to know what you guys think, what your thoughts are on the topics that we talk about, maybe your own experiences with these things, so that we can share them with other people as well. Because, you know, we're just one family here. We obviously don't have the blanket of every experience that's out there. We want to be a resource for people to use.
Exactly. We're our own unique version of this is what we've learned. But the more we get other, you know, outside information, whether it be other people or whatnot, the more information we can bring to everyone else.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So definitely get a hold of us. You can send us anything to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. You can go to our Facebook and Twitter pages. Those are at Open Eyes Network or Ira Robinson on both of those. So definitely send us your information. We would love to talk to you.
Or if there's a specific topic you would like us to cover, you can do that too.
Absolutely. We're looking for any and all information that you guys want to give. So again, tonight we wanted to talk to you guys about school. What to do about school. Well, if you guys listen to the introduction episode with school, we've had quite the experience as far as Seth is concerned.
Yeah.
And we thought we'd go through a little bit of it again here for you guys that may have missed that show, so that you can have an understanding of kind of our baseline of where we're coming from with it all. So for the first few years, Seth was in school. At this point in time, he is homeschooled because of some issues that cropped up in
the school setting, but it was not his fault.
Right. So, but for many years he was in school.
And yeah. The first, three and a half years. I mean, yes. He was in the middle of fourth grade when we pulled him.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So, he had some experience as far as that setting was concerned. And since then, he's kind of flourished school-wise compared to what he was doing
in school,
in the public school setting. Yes, exactly. So, we'll relate our personal story here for you guys. For 3 years, 3.5 years, he was in the normal, public school system. But for the first 2 years, he was fully integrated into the special education classes. After that point in time, he had progressed
academically
to the point where they thought that he could go into the regular classroom setting for a majority of the time of the day. By the time that all was said and done, he was integrated into the regular classes about 75% of the day, and the other 25% was dedicated to things like speech therapy, occupational therapy, and that sort of thing.
Another reason for this is also because since he was in a special ed classroom, the social interaction he needs was very limited because most kids in that class couldn't speak or speak very well anyways. So that was another pushing point to put him into a regular classroom. However, at the school system he went to, both him and his sister, really, the school system that they went to, unfortunately, a lot of the kids in the school were Burmese. That being the case, most kids couldn't even speak English to begin with, and that's even in the regular classrooms. I would go to field trips with both him and his sister, and I remember for his sister's class, there was 1 year I went on a field trip with her, and there was her and one other kid that were English-born speakers. Every single other kid were Burmese, and there was only one of them that could fluently speak English, and she was pretty much the translator between the parents that did show up to help. She was the translator for the parents, between the parents and the teacher, and everyone else just, you know, barely spoke English. So, I mean, it's something to see. And for Seth having to be going into a regular classroom to get the social interaction, and yet everyone pretty much can't speak English to begin with, it was kind of not really.
Yeah, and for the most part, he was ignored in the classroom as well. Of course, his aide that was assigned to him would help him out. But as far as the social interaction with the other children were concerned, he was basically ignored because he was so different. And again, like she was just saying, most of them couldn't speak English in any way, shape, or form. And so a lot of the day was actually dedicated to just going over the same things over and over and over again, trying to not only educate the students on math and writing and reading and all that kind of stuff, but also just how to speak English, period.
Yeah.
So, and then top that all off with the fact that he had and still does have quite a bit of speech impediment, and that combines to him being rather ostracized by the other children. So that was one of the difficulties that we were facing as far as his school setting was concerned. Now, your mileage may vary with it. I mean, obviously our experience was a little bit different because of the way that things are here in the town that we live in.
Yeah, the unique circumstances.
Yeah, there's a lot. We are here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We are the largest population of Burmese outside of Burma because the Catholic Charities, when all of the rebellions and the civil war was beginning over in Burma, essentially Catholic Charities immigrated in as a refugee status, thousands of Burmese citizens, and they brought most of them here to our town, for whatever reason that may be. And so we have, again, like I said, the most Burmese outside of Burma here in our town. That being said, with the school systems basically being inundated with the children from Burma who had just come here, did not have any interest in learning English. Their parents have no interest in learning English because they're here as refugees and are just waiting to go back home as soon as they possibly can. it adds to a lot of combinations of circumstances that are probably quite a bit different from what you guys are dealing with out there with your children. However, the other issues as far as the socializing and that sort of thing are concerned, that one you probably are dealing with, because let's face it, kids are kids, and a lot of kids in a lot of cases can be very mean and cruel.
Oh, most definitely.
And with somebody who is different, such as with autism, that leads to some pretty big problems.
Yeah, that's, you know, having someone that is in the classroom and then is taken out of the classroom for other things. And then, you know, he did wear pull-ups, and it is kind of noticeable that he did, you know, because you could hear it when he walked. So that would only add to it. And then the special attention he would get from, like, say, the teachers, and then he followed the teacher's instructions to the letter. I mean, if a teacher says, you know, you do this and that and you don't do that, if he saw another kid doing it, he would tell the teacher about it.
Yeah, he would call them out.
Yeah, not really realizing that at the same time of doing that, he's also breaking off, you know, that person's trust of, you know, hey, don't say anything that I'm going to do this. Teacher, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So not really realizing that socially he was hurting himself, even though academically he was doing good.
Yeah. And the sad thing is that while all of this was going on, we kept hearing him say things like, I just want to have a friend. I just want a friend. And he couldn't find any at school. So as far as the socializing thing is concerned, it's hit or miss. You know, it really is. I know that when our first episode of things was airing, I was in the chat room discussing things with people who were listening, which you can get to by going to our openeyesnetwork.com and clicking on the listen live page. There's a chat room that's available for everybody to listen to. And if you go there, you can hear not only things while we're airing our show, but you can also
talk to both of us.
Yeah, talk to both of us. You can also listen to the live stream of the radio station in general, 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. We really recommend it. There's a lot of really great shows that air here on the network. But one of the people that was in the chat room while the first show is airing mentioned that at the school system that he went to as an elementary student, they had integrated the special education program in with the regular classroom program setting, and that it worked out really well, and everybody basically integrated really well together, and they didn't see any major issues as far as socializing and that type of thing was concerned. And he said that he had the advantage of learning about other people who had these kind of disabilities and kind of has progressed in life with that as the memory. So that's a good thing. And if your school is like that, bless it, because it's not common at all. So that I thought was a good thing. And I definitely wanted to toss that information out there. If you guys are finding that you're in a school system that is really dedicated to the special education students' needs, that's a good thing, because that is actually quite uncommon in the here and now.
Yeah. The school system we went to, it's the better one in the area we live in my personal opinion. It's the better one, because I had gone to the main one, the main school system in Fort Wayne. Not very good, but the school system that we had the kids go to was supposed to be the better of them. I had also gone to this one as well, and unfortunately, this same school system is where a lot of the Burmese would go to, too. So, in one hand, it is better, but in the other hand, the social interaction, it hurt both the kids, really, not just Seth, but, you know, it did what it did. And then not only that, but we did have a few issues with the different teachers or aides at the school. A quick example is 1 year Seth was getting notes from, I think it was the special ed teacher aide, like the assistant one. And he kept getting notes from her saying that he kept saying no when it came to reading, which was pretty preposterous because Seth absolutely loves to read. I mean, to this day, he loves to read. His birthday's coming up. He's like, I hope I get more books. You know, I mean, he's always loved to read. So to hear that he's saying no to reading was really confusing. And, you know, this happened like midway into the school year. And then towards the end of the year, it just got worse and worse. And finally, he ended up getting in-school suspension for it. And I'm just thinking, oh gosh, you know, what's going on? Why is this happening? And he came home from school that day. And of course, he's been in school suspension the whole entire day. I mean, I'm hands down, that's the best thing they could have ever done. Because being in a room that is quiet the entire time, I mean, he came home, he was happier than I've ever seen him come home from school. He was happy. He was joyful. He was like dancing and prancing. He came in the door and he's looking at me. He's like, okay, mommy, I know exactly what's been going on. Cause I've been asking him every time he comes home, you know, what's happened? What's going on when this happens? But he can't remember because it happens before lunch and his memory just will not let him remember it.
Yeah. To explain a little bit of that, he has what's called childhood disintegrative disorder. And with his memories, the way that they work basically is that any memory that's not being continually reinforced is lost. It just is lost to the ether, essentially. So if it's an event that happened even a matter of hours before, he doesn't retain anything with it. So that's one of the major issues that we have as far as dealing with him is concerned.
Yeah. So even though this was something of a big deal, I mean, he was getting in trouble, he still couldn't remember, you know, what happened. You know, I'd ask him, what did you end up reading, or what, you know, who was with you? He couldn't remember any of that. So on this day, he comes home, he says, I remember everything. I want to take a bath and I'll tell you all about it. And usually bath time, he's more relaxed and he can think more. So it's like, okay, we'll do this.
Which is definitely a recommendation. If you guys don't have bath time implemented, try it out.
Bath or shower. He's more into showers now, but
it really helps. It really does. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. So we go into the bathroom and I'm getting the water ready and he's just happy as a lark. And of course, he went into in-school suspension immediately after this reading period thing had happened. And I still didn't really understand what happens with this reading time. I just know it's something with reading and it's his special ed teacher that every once in a while does it with him. Usually it's his teacher, which was a really good teacher, but then sometimes it was a special ed teacher that did it one-on-one with him. So on this day, he goes to take the bath and he's telling me, you know, there's two different kinds of the word no. And I mean K-N-O-W. And that's when it hit me. Oh, but wait a minute. The special ed teacher didn't catch up on this? The long story short is at this point in time in his life, his language was not, his sentence structure was not as good as it should be. He never referred to himself when he talked. So he would say no, but he would mean I know. But he never said I. He never would say I. He would never say me. He never, you know, referred to himself in any way, shape, or form. And so to know that he goes to special ed class, you know, at least a little bit every single day, and that this special ed teacher aid assistant that sees him, you know, on a regular basis, or at least, you know, a few times a week, she should have realized by that point in time that he never refers to himself. So for him to get in trouble for saying the word no when he's trying to say I know was just like, okay, well, how come she never picked that up when I'm sure his regular teacher did? And she's supposed to be the special ed teacher.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems that happens with the public school setting. They have so many different students that they're trying to deal with, especially in this day and age where more kids are coming in that have been damaged in one way, shape, or form. They're coming in with a lot of these different disorders and things that are going on. And they just don't have time to do as much one-on-one stuff as they need to. So what you could say happened basically is that he was fluffed off. He was they took the word that he was using and they didn't go into any further examination of the problem or what he might mean. And that's really frustrating to us as parents, because
he was getting in trouble in school suspension.
Yeah.
And it was a matter of verbiage that, you know, they couldn't understand that when he was saying no, he was meaning I know. But at that point in time, he was having difficulty referring to himself and saying sentence structure correctly.
Right. And so the teacher, basically, when he'd say no, she would get angry and she would basically knee-jerk reaction, think that he was saying, no, I don't want to do that, instead of saying, I know that I have to do that.
Yeah. And what it all came down to, what I was able to figure out, is that the special aid would let him choose whatever book he wanted to read for the one-on-one reading comprehension, whatever dealio they really did it through. But he would pick out his own book. And at that point in time, you know, this all started about halfway into the year. He was sick and tired of reading the same books over and over because he's already read the books that are about his reading level. So he, you know, he would sit there and go, do I want to read this one again? No, do I want to read this one again? So, I mean, I had to write a letter to the special ed teacher and tell her, look, you need to limit the books that you let him choose. You know, give him two or three and tell him you choose one of these, not the entire classroom's material that he's already read.
Yeah, which they had hundreds of books that were sitting there, really. So
yeah, and he's already read the ones that were interesting to him and, you know, that he was allowed to read. So, you know, he was getting bored with it. And so it's like, okay, do I want to read this one again? Do I want to read that one again? And so she would try and hurry him up and say, you need to hurry up and pick. And he'd say, no. But he's meaning, I know. But he never said I, because that's how he was at the time.
Yeah, he didn't use the personal pronouns or refer to himself as like Seth, no, or anything like that.
Yeah. So the impatience of the special ed teacher going, okay, come on, pick a book.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. And so I sent the letter, no problems for the rest of the year.
Yep. And it's sad that we as parents are the ones that had to figure that out.
Yeah, it had to take an in-school suspension. And so him being in a quiet classroom for the entire day to come home, be able to thankfully remember what did happen and tell me what happened so that we can sit down and say, look, this is, you need to understand our son a little better, even though you should be seeing him every day. And, you know, don't you take him to see the speech therapist? And I don't know. It was just
yeah, it was a process of frustration, to say the least. So that's kind of been our experience as far as school goes. There, his first teacher when he was in kindergarten was awesome. She was the best special education teacher that I could have ever imagined. She set up the programs for autistic students throughout the community schools here in our town. So, you know, she definitely knew her stuff, but unfortunately he was only with her for the first year and a half, basically. And she moved on. She was promoted and moved on from there. So, you know, it was disappointing. If she had still been around,
this situation would not have happened.
No, definitely not. She definitely knew her stuff. So that's one of the frustrations that we dealt with. And of course, now we've progressed to the point where we homeschool both of the children because, again, of incidences that ended up occurring. And it was just kind of our decision to let's move into doing it as homeschooling. And I would highly recommend any parent that's out there, whether or not it's a student that doesn't have any autism problems or anything like that, you know, look into homeschooling your kids, because it really does make a vast difference when you have the ability to teach them yourselves. Luckily here in Indiana, we have the capability of doing so, and there's no real major restrictions on how it happens or what you have to do. But again, your laws in your state will probably vary from that. So, you know, be sure to look into it, find out for yourself what you have to do to get it done. But really, I recommend it highly. As far as the socialism thing is concerned, you know, the socializing thing is concerned, It depends on the student and what's going on with it, but you could find ways to get the social interaction going outside of a school setting. And if you think about it this way, in a school setting, they're not really getting much socializing anyways. They're so full of rote and repetition. They're stuck in lines. They're supposed to be quiet, you know, on and on and on. They're not really getting much social interaction anyways. So that's, you know, that's probably a topic for another day in another show, but you know, just keep that in mind when it comes to the idea of, well, you have to let your kids get socialization, and well, they're not really getting that in the public schools either. So look into it. That's our recommendation. Well, listen, we're going to go ahead and take a break here real quick. It's just going to be a fast one. But when we come back, we want to talk to you guys about some things and resources that we've found as far as homeschooling is concerned. And these can apply to outside of school, you know, like outside of a homeschool setting as well. If you have students that are in public schools or private schools, these things could be useful to you as well. So be sure to stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information, and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of latenightinthemidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you, a one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of latenightinthemidlands.com and help us help you.
So I'll admit it, I'm a geek. I love anything science fiction or fantasy. I love to collect things that are related to the things that I like. There's a place that I go to find unique things. It's an Etsy shop that's called The Geeky Stitcher. They have some amazing and one-of-a-kind handcrafted collectibles on a lot of my favorite science fiction and fantasy-related shows and movies. You know, geek stuff. They have things like gloves that look just like the TARDIS from Doctor Who. They have crocheted figures from Star Trek, Disney movies, even Navi from The Legend of Zelda. They're all made with love, and they have a unique style, and best of all, they're cheaply priced. They'll even do custom orders. All you have to do is let them know what you would like to see made, and they'll get right on it. Check them out today at thegeekystitcher.etsy.com, or you can also go to their Facebook fan page, which is found at The Geeky Stitcher. Go there today. I'm sure you guys will find something that you would really, really love.
At The Secret Teachings, we are not a part of any group, label, and we do not attempt to fearmonger. Some of the topics we discuss may seem scary, so I advise you not to be afraid, but to be informed as we discuss current events and ancient history, astrotheology and symbolism, the paranormal and the occult, the esoteric, health, and much more. I am not here to tell you that what I say is truth, but to allow you to decide for yourself based on the evidence presented and the dots connected. Information is not negative. It is how you view it that determines the dimensional characteristics of either dual aspect of negativity or positivity. Try as you might, but no amount of disinformation, propaganda, rhetoric, or trolling will change the truth. The truth is the truth, regardless if the masses accept it as is, or if it is accepted by only one out of billions. It is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. For more information on airtimes and free downloads of past episodes of The Secret Teachings, you can visit www.thesecretteachings.info. That's thesecretteachings.info.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Adventures in Autism. My name is Ira Robinson.
And this is Jolene Robinson.
We thought that that song would be totally appropriate to play for this episode. It's one that's really inspiring. It's really, well, it really speaks the message of hope and what we would love to see accomplished with all children that have any kind of issues, any kind of things that are going on with them, whether it's autism or ADHD or some kind of genetic disorder that's going on, whatever the case may be, they are little packages of love in these bodies that have been damaged. And that's the one thing that you can hold on to, hold on to the love and remember they're here for a reason. That's the way we look at it. So before we went to the break, we were discussing the homeschooling choices that we made. And we wanted to bring you guys some information on resources that we've found that we use with our kids or that we have used with our kids and that might be of benefit to you guys out there, regardless of whether you homeschool your children or if they are still in a public or private school setting. So, Jolene, why don't you go ahead and get us started on a few of these?
Okay. The first and probably the biggest one that we use is a program called Time for Learning, which you can find at time4learning.net. This program, my husband actually found just just as we had to quickly make the decision of, okay, we need to pull the kids. And when my husband, we got the free trial for it. And when we first had the kids sit down and look at it, Crystal said, "Well, Daddy, this is what we use at school. We use this at school for an hour every single day," which was kind of preposterous. And then the more I looked into the program, I realized, yeah, the school system that our kids go to pretty much use strictly this, because there's a section that has like spelling words. The spelling words the kids have used throughout the whole entire year was the same spelling lists that are on Time for Learning.
Yeah, the same pictures on the worksheets and everything.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, it was just, it was unbelievable. It's like, okay, so we're sending them to a public school for what reason?
And paying for it.
Yeah, when we could homeschool them for way cheaper. I mean, it is a paid program. It is BBB accredited. I like it a lot. I use it with the kids for various different things. The one thing that's really great with it that I like is you can bump them up and down grade levels at will. You don't have to keep them at like the one and it's like, oh, okay, so they're in fourth grade, so they get all fourth grade material. No, you can actually choose, you know, okay, for Seth's instance, you know, okay, so this year Seth's in third grade math because he's still struggling with that, but yet he's at fifth grade level for language arts and then language arts extensions, and then maybe fourth grade for science and history. So, well, it's called social studies, but yeah, you get my name. So you can customize each individual grade level, and you can go up and down. It just takes 24 hours for it to kick in, but you can go up and down at will. So if you need to go back to rehash something, you can, and then you can, excuse me, and then you can easily switch it back. So I like that a lot, that you can switch them at will at any topic, at any subject, and you can keep it as long as you need. Like I said, it is a paid thing, but you can have it all year round. And there is a dormancy period where you don't, it's like, I want to say $4 for each kid for each month that they're not in school kind of thing. And it's a great program. I do like it. I can see why the schools would use it, but you could use it as like an after school program if your child needs like additional help. That's what they highlight, you know, they can be used as an after school program for additional schooling or homeschooling, which is what we use it for. If you go to the website, there is like at the top, there's a parent forum. You can go there. If you're not quite sure, you can go there and you can, ask questions, you know, hey, looking into it, or you can even look, they have, per state, they have resources per state of like, you know, they explain what you need to do for your child if you want to do homeschooling or if you're just interested in this. It's really good. I do like it.
The nice thing, too, with it is that you can also have high school students as well. So, I mean, they go literally from kindergarten.
Preschool
even. Mm-hmm. So they go from preschool all the way up to senior year, 12th grade. So
yes, that's really great.
They cover pretty much everything, like she was mentioning there. They also have art classes, music classes, all of this kind of stuff that you could take part in. And it's all pretty amazing. She was mentioning that there's a cost associated with it. And yes, there is. But if you, we've done the figuring.
It's way cheaper than sending them to real school.
Yes, it really is far cheaper overall when you break it down to do this program as opposed to sending them to school, buying all the supplies, all the other stuff that gets associated with it. It's either equal to or much less than the cost of sending them to public school.
Yeah, every year our costs for homeschooling them is really cheap. I mean, the paying for Time for Learning is the biggest cost. Beyond that, it's papers and, you know, blank papers.
Paper pens, all that kind of stuff.
Printer ink, you know, that's pretty much it. Yeah, so that's the main one. Anything after Time for Learning is very supplemental.
And two, let me make clear as well, just so that those out there listening can know this. We are not affiliated with any of these sites. We don't get anything. If you guys go to them and make use of them, we get nothing out of it at all. This is just literally us as parents that have found these resources that you guys can make use of.
Exactly. So the next one that I use quite a bit is a program called Khan Academy, which you can find online at Khan, K-H-A-N, academy.org. Now, this is a free program. You can sign up and you can set up your kids to sign up on it, and they can be considered your students. I have both Seth and Crystal, both our kids, are on this. Last year, I found this specifically for Crystal for last year because she was struggling with fractions. I understand fractions, but I just could not get through to her how to do fractions. And Time for Learning was not doing it for her either. So I found Khan Academy, and there's videos as well as lessons in there. And they came at a different approach for the fractions. And through Khan Academy, she was able to do fractions. And I just ended up using Khan Academy for the rest of her, she was in fourth grade, for her fourth grade, math year. They do mostly math. They do have math per grade. I don't think it's all grades. I know they do a lot of the younger grades and high schools. I think they go up to like eighth grade, and then after that it's kind of mushed into one. I don't remember offhand. They're not that old yet, so I don't, but yeah, so I did that mostly with her last year, and then this year I've had Seth do a lot of Khan Academy as well. They do have some science. I let Crystal look into some science. And then another thing they do have is if you're into coding, like wanting to learn coding, they do have a coding program on there, like how to learn how to do programming and whatnot, HTML kind of thing. Crystal got into that, and she looked into that.
They have HTML, they have JavaScript, they have C++. They have quite a bit of things that are available there to learn from.
Yeah, so even if you yourself are just interested in that, you can do it too. It's a really great free resource. I mean, it's unbelievable what they have considering it is free. So I use it extensively.
Yeah, they actually advertise that one on TV. I've caught a couple of ads here and there when I was walking back and forth from the living room, and saw a couple of ads for Khan Academy. So yeah, they're really good. And she mentioned that they're primarily for math. They are. They do have other things as well. I mean, you can actually do their full homeschooling type deal through Khan Academy. But I find that Time for Learning tends to be better for the other aspects of things aside from math.
Yeah, Khan Academy doesn't have anything really for language arts. Yeah. Yeah.
So
they have math, they have science, they have a little bit of art, more of art history. They do have some history. That's pretty much.
Yeah. So the next one on your list of goodies that you have is worksheetworks.com. So that's worksheetworks, all one word, .com.
Yes. I like this site a lot. This site, you can go to it, and it has free worksheet templates. You can customize it to a good assortment. And I use this extensively with the kids.
She's worksheeting it up like crazy in this household.
Yeah. I haven't used it so much this year, but last year, oh my goodness. Last year and the year before, when the first year we homeschooled them, I definitely made use of this site. The one example I would use it for is they have like templates so that you can print out, for handwriting. And, I had both kids do handwriting lessons. I had them both do cursive. It was a little difficult for Seth, but I do feel it's important to do so that he can at least somewhat read it. And he can. He can read cursive. Can he write cursive himself? Not really, but he can read it now. He's to the point he can read it now, which was my point. I wanted him to learn cursive enough to be able to read it.
Which is beyond what a lot of public schools are doing now that they've gotten rid of.
Yeah, our programs. School system has dropped it, but they've recently said they're going to bring it back. But they did drop it, and we started having Crystal learn cursive in third grade because it's like, no, you need to learn it because there's so much out there that, you know, you need cursive for, so. So, but yeah, that's just one example for the worksheet works. There's a lot of other different worksheets. They have worksheets for math and language arts and geography.
And on that website, you can customize all of the worksheets as well.
Yeah, you can customize it, and it is free. And then you just download the worksheet, and then it'll show you like the, if there's an answer sheet needed for it, it'll have the blank unanswered, and it'll have like the answer sheet, and you can print them off from there and kind of thing. So that's that one. Another one is Jumpstart. So there's the Jumpstart games, which I've always been a big proponent of. Jumpstart helped me when I was younger. When I was younger, I remember whatever Jumpstart. I had like Jumpstart 1 through 3rd. No, I had 1 through 4. 4th grade? Maybe 5th grade. I don't know. I had a bunch of them. And I know one of them, they taught me how to tell time. And I always had good luck with Jumpstart. Just playing the Jumpstart games. So I've had the kids do some of the Jumpstart games. I think it's 3rd grade, 4th grade. Whichever one has the robot, Bentley, I think his name is. That one's a really good one. And the kids really like that one too. But that's a really good one for learning. And then they also have like jumpstart.com. You can go there and they have like a free... You can do it free. You can pay and get a little more, but we do it free. There's a like a free little MMO thing where they can go and play and learn. And then there's like newer games too that you can go out and buy that I don't really understand how they are now, but the kids have liked those and they've had good success with that as well. There's like Jumpstart for art, Jumpstart for specific grades, Jumpstart for specific subjects, and Jumpstart is a great program. Jumpstart.com if you want to look at more for it.
Yep. And then when it comes to things outside of websites, what we do are things like we use flashcards a lot. I don't think we have as much this year, but we definitely have in the past, and we have a lot of really good luck. Seth loves doing the flashcards. He really gets a kick out of them.
Oh yes.
He actually comes forward and says, "Hey, can we do flashcards?"
Yeah.
So he volunteers for it sometimes. And then we also do a lot of TV shows. Now, when it comes to TV shows, I don't mean just sit them down and watch SpongeBob or anything like that. What we do are things like have them watch a Bill Nye the Science Guy episode.
Lots of Bill Nye.
And Beekman's World. Beekman's World was both of those shows, between the two, man, you will have science covered no matter what.
Now, I will point out, Seth himself, he did not care for Beekman's World. Bill Nye, he's a little more into it, but Beekman, he absolutely was like, no, it's a little too crazy for me.
Yeah, but Crystal loves both of them. So.
And then there's like the Magic School Bus. Seth's more into that one.
Yeah, he loves that show. Mm-hmm. And so we also do a lot of arts and crafts projects, which both the kids really love to do. You know, they both get a real big kick out of it. They did puppets recently. Both kids get a real big kick out of doing the different arts and crafts that we do. And we also integrate into that things like music, health.
We have a piano. We have a little electric piano keyboard.
Yep, exactly. So that's. I think a pretty good overview of how we handle like the actual academic subjects when it comes to dealing with Seth and Crystal as well.
I have one more major one to add.
Sure.
Okay, another major one is Minecraft.
Yeah.
Seth absolutely loves Minecraft. A lot of kids nowadays love Minecraft. I mean, Crystal does too, don't get me wrong. But Seth pretty much spends most of his time on Minecraft. And not this year specifically, but last year I used Minecraft a lot. Ira helped me quite a bit with this, but we set up like a little room that I would have them go into and, do a timed test, a math time test. It was over multiplication. For Crystal, it was multiplication and division, but for Seth, it was just multiplication. And they had fun with that. It's different than doing just the paper version, and it's not so frustrating. Seth got more into doing it that way as opposed to doing paper.
Yeah, he loves Minecraft in general.
Oh, yes.
It is literally his game. He loves to play it. He loves to create things in it. And we let him do it as much as he wants to do because, well, it keeps him busy, number one, but it helps to really focus his mind, I think, when he's playing it.
Exactly. And I do plan on doing more Minecraft next year. I meant to this year, but I didn't really. I kind of flubbed on it. So next year, I do plan on using Minecraft more, having him, you know, giving him challenges, you know, because it has like redstone in it, which is kind of close to wiring, you know, using electricity. So trying to get him, you know, have this door open, but you can't use this. You can only use this, you know, how to get them to think logically.
Yeah, a little bit more of the science and logic-y kind of, kind of a deal. But like I said, I mean, you were referring to like the world that I had created. I created an entire world that was filled with mathematics, and they had to go in and do these math problems mm-hmm. in order to even get out of the room that they were in and all this. They had a lot of fun doing it, and I had a lot of fun creating it, but so that's one example. Minecraft is a really good tool, I think, that a lot of people overlook as far as its educational purposes are concerned. You know, most people just think, okay, well, this is just a fun game or creative game or something like that. But you can really use it for some very interesting educational tools. One thing as well, in Minecraft, they have actual school programs on servers that are set up. If you want to look into doing this, one of them that we ran across, what was it called?
MinecraftHomeschool.com.
Okay. So if you go to MinecraftHomeschool.com, you can look into actually using Minecraft as a homeschool subsidy or, you know, a supplement.
Yes.
Thank you. A supplement in their education. And it really is very interesting. The one that Crystal went through, they taught her, how to manage resources when you don't have
for
much of anything
situations.
To go with. So she learned how to be empathic with people who are, you know, poverty stricken, you know, and all this kind of stuff. It was really interesting. There's also one other that I ran across specifically as far as autism is concerned. There's one server that's out there that's called Autcraft, autcraft.com, AUTCRAFT.com. Autcraft was set up by a father who has an autistic child, and he wanted to create a place where his child could go into, feel safe, be creative as much as she wanted to, and try to have a little bit of fun. And they let people on. The only people who can get on are those who are autistic.
Yeah. So you, as a parent, you have to actually contact him and give them your information, which is on that website, but you have to give them your information and let them know, you know, kind of a background of your child. He doesn't just let anyone. It's a whitelisted thing. He has to know that you're legit, and then he'll allow you to get in.
Exactly. So, honey, do you have any final thoughts? Because we're about out of time here.
Not really. There's a lot more resources, which we'll have on the show notes for this, because there's quite a few more that we didn't really get into. Went over the majors. I mean, Time for Learning, Khan Academy, Worksheet Works, Jumpstart. Those are pretty much like the major ones. I've done a lot on my own too, so.
Yeah, exactly. So if you guys want to go to the show notes for this show, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/AA003. We will have links to everything that we mentioned here, as well as a lot of other information on that on the show notes for this episode. There are a lot of different things that we've run across, and we'll make sure that you guys have them all. So be sure to share this episode. Share. Get onto Facebook, get on Twitter, share this episode, and make sure that other parents that are out there that are needing help get help, because there are a lot of people out there going through all of this stuff, and there just really is not as many resources out there as we would like to see. So be sure to share it. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to our Facebook and Twitter pages, those are at Open Eyes Network, as well as Ira Robinson for both of those platforms. Let's see. The next episode is going to be on Friday, next Friday. So be sure to tune in. We are currently scheduled to air on the L&M Radio Network at noon on Mondays and Fridays. The Monday episode is a replay of the Friday episode. So make sure to go to our website, take a listen, openeyesnetwork.com. Until next time, guys, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.